Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday morning, February the 8th, 2015. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with me as we look at some really interesting dilly whoppers, as I like to call them. These are questions, dilly whoppers are questions that most people don't have the basic, intelligence to ask. It just doesn't dawn on them. So when I get some questions like this and I gather them for weeks at a time so I can use them in one program, I am humbly grateful. I really am. I want to thank those of you who support this radio program by being a sponsor. Without your gifts, this wouldn't happen. And I want to thank those people who listen to this radio program, who listen to it via so many different avenues on the internet, and how you look at the bigger picture of your life, and that in some way I am able to serve you through my heart to your heart. And may this all be something very, very important to all of us in this life. All right, let's get to the questions. First one comes from Tip. He says, what can I do when I am not doing as you say? What can I do when I am not doing as you say? Now, this comes from a phrase I have, to do without doing. It's a Zen saying. It's not mine. It's a Zen saying, do without doing. So, Tip, you want to know what doing without doing is all about, eh? Wow. This is an interesting insight, and it might prove to be very helpful. So let's take a look at doing without doing. When Gregory is doing this radio program, it's mediocre at best, at very best. Doesn't really do much. It just is what it is. I talk. I live in my pedestrian mentality. If I were to do this radio program from the point of view of Mr. Penn, and that would be as far as it goes. Won't be any further than that. Be just the teaching you things or talking to you about things that you can understand in your mind, and we wouldn't go any further. We wouldn't do any more. But when I am not in Gregory, when I am not doing what Gregory is doing, when I am not thinking as Gregory is thinking, when I am doing without doing, I open up a brand new place inside me where love can reach me. Now, with this love and this reach that is going on within me, a great compassion begins to fill up, and all of a sudden, I am no longer speaking as Gregory. I'm not speaking for Gregory. I am just this. Just this. Do you understand what just this means, Tip? It means I'm just this. I am the totality right now of this radio program. Your question is number one to me. It is the only thing that matters. So it is just this. I am just doing this radio program. I am not thinking about the next one or the next question. It's just this. Now, some people will say, oh, well, you're being in the moment. There is no moment, dudes and dudettes. There is no now moment. Did a Buddha talk about a now moment? No. Did Jesus talk about it? No. Did Krishna, Lao Tzu? No. Of course not, because that's not what it's all about. Even saying the word now introduces the idea of time. There is no sense of time in just this. It means everything else is gone. Nothing is happening the way I believe it's happening. I have put aside my loneliness, my desires, my pride, my vanity, my fears. And then when those are gone, what do I have? Well, just this. And that is not a moment. This just this can live on and on and on and on. It is everything. It is all. So, Tip, you say, what can I do when I am not doing as you say? You are not doing it from Tip any longer. Now, whatever you are doing, it is just this. What would that look like? What would that be like? I have literally no idea what that would look like or what that would be like. I don't know. Just this could be just how things are, and learning how to see how things are, not from my emotionality, not from my pride, not from my vanity, not from my fear, not from my anger, but just this. I'm just looking at it as it is. I don't need it to be any different than the way it is. I don't need it to be any different than whatever is happening. And whatever is happening because I am learning about something very beautiful, something very meaningful. I am learning that you are being, and I are being, taken care of. Something is trying to happen to us. Something beautiful. Something that has to do with living, real living, not the living I want it to be. Have you ever thought, Tip, what living means? Have you ever thought how one lives? Where does living come from? Where does the meaning of your life enter in? If I am busy doing Gregory, then I'm only doing Gregory. Is he the only thing that constitutes living? Is he the only thing that is life itself? Or is there more? Is there something more? I say there is something more. I say there is something beautiful going on within you. And when you are just this, just doing this, and nothing less and nothing more, that is when something unique is happening to your life. That is when something beautiful starts to enter into your living. That's when kindness, compassion starts to enter into your life. And that is where love is. So, just this, that's all there is to it. You ask me, what can I do? There would be no I to do anything. How could there be an I? Gregory, meaning I, just screws things up. He just wants things his way. He wants things to be as he can believe them to be, as he can think them to be. He wants control of them. He wants whatever he wants to think that whatever he wants is what he wants and needs. But that's not true. You have to go a little deeper. Try doing little things, Tip. Hear me on this. Try doing little things without Tip being involved in it, where there is no I. Just try it. Try and see what you can find in just the I. I think that would be very, very powerful. And if you can just do one thing at a time without Tip, without his input and you being influenced by that input. Now he's going to scream at you and yell at you and tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And if you get involved in that, you're going to miss the whole thing. All you really need to do is just let him be him while you go and do whatever it is you need to do that has nothing to do with a you or an I or a me. Sound too abstract? Well, that's the zen of it all. There is something trying to happen to all of us that is so loving and so kind we miss. We miss the whole blooming thing. We never look at the meaning of our life. We just want to get through our life, and that's the sad part. Getting through doesn't mean living. Living means living. I hope that helps you. A Tip. Try doing some non-doing today. Maybe even listen to this radio program again by not thinking, by not imagining, you know, by non-doing. Just listen to the radio program. Let it be what it is. Just this radio program. Just this. Hmm. Please forgive me. Namaste. I think people struggle with time, and they struggle with the idea of not having enough and emotionality around it, and what does it mean? I should do everything. I should put my all into it. Well, you can put your all into it, but what's the outcome of that? Look at what your life is all about. I know people who are of great accomplishment, and they think they did it. Well, sooner or later, they find out they didn't. That there is something more intelligent in the background living and doing and helping them than they ever imagined. So when I am doing anything, I am mucking it up. But when it is happening through me, like artists know this, they know how to allow things to flow through them. And therefore, they take no credit for what has happened. They're just as amazed as anyone else. Ah, that is doing without doing. That is knowing without thinking. That is living with being. Okay, here's a question from Francis. You wrote in one of your commentaries, the meaning of our life is in our lives. What the heck does that mean? Francis. You wrote the meaning of our life in our lives. Most of us live a life, Francis, separate from the life that lives within us. We are not much interested in the life that lives within us. We only want the lives we can think about, the lives we can believe in, the lives that we find ourselves gratified by. So for the most part, what constitutes a person's life? The livingness of a person usually is geared around something in the physical world, something that we want to have happen, something we believe should happen, something that generates what we want to have happen that is gratifying. As long as I live in that, I am going to find myself removing me from the life that lives within me. The living I want is not the life that lives within me. And the object of the game, as it were, is to want the life that is living within me rather than the living I am doing, the living I am going through. Not many people that I have met in my worldly life are willing to give up their living for life. They're just not willing to do it. The fear of what could happen to them if they gave up control over their life. I mean, I want you to imagine this. What if you gave up your control of your life by no longer fearing anything? What do you imagine would happen? That's the issue. That's the total issue here. What would happen? What would your life be like if you were living your life without fear? There'd be no need for hate. There'd be no reason for hesitation. You would just live this way. Just as this. You wouldn't be fighting for what you want. You wouldn't be needing what you need. You wouldn't be wanting what you want. You would just be in the life that was living in you. Well, the meaning of our life is in our lives. And most of us don't find meaning of our life because our lives are filled with so many superficialities, so many desires, so many false things like pride, vanity. So we just live our life according to all of that. We don't make any real changes in our life. When's the last significant change you have made in your posturing, your attitude towards your life? When have you invited life in? You know, people will say, oh, life is unknowable. This is what life brought me. This is what life took from me. It's not true. It's not true. Not the way we're thinking of it. Life is an ebb. Life is a flow. How I posture myself within me, how I sit within my beingness, determines how I'm going to let life live me. I have a saying, Francis, you've probably heard me utter it many times, let love live you. So if you truly let love live you, you will come to a place where you are no longer lonely and afraid anymore. A lot of our pain and suffering is due to our loneliness. A lot of it. We are so lonely. We are so afraid of everything because our emotionality takes over and we start living our life according to our emotions. And our emotionality tells us, you better be afraid of this. You better be afraid of that. You better not let this happen. You better let that happen. And before you know it, it's all about all of that. It's about all of that. What was the greatest surprise in your life? Francis, look at it. Something that occurred that you did not expect. Something that came into your life that had nothing to do with your living and how you live your life. That is interesting. Now, some people would say, well, I remember when my parents died, or I remember when the doctor said this, or I remember when they took that from me, whatever. All of those things are about the life in your living. Had we been attuned to the life in our living, and we had really been aware of what that meant, we would have opened up all the doors and allowed all of this to happen, and we would have realized this is the way of life. This is how it happens. And we would have welcomed it. I know. I hear it. Boo, boo. Thumbs down, everybody. But what I say is true. There is a goodness in your nature. And you have to trust in that. Because that's the life in you. The capital L-I-F-E. The living is how I interpret that life or shut it out. And most people shut that life out of their living and just live under the influence of a tremendous fear and hatred that does them no good at all. Doesn't change anything, doesn't awaken anything, doesn't bring anything into your life that is beautiful. So it's up to you and me. What are we going to do with the life of our living? Are we going to make life our living, or are we going to make living the seeming life that we have, which means that I make fear more important than anything else? This is why ministers and religion know you have to be God-fearing, because if you fear God, they have you by their clutches. They know exactly how to manipulate you. But when you are no longer afraid, when fear is no longer a part of your life, when living is not a part of fear and making fear manifest, that is when something beautiful can occur, something magnificent, something unique. So there you are. It really is that simple. Francis, you're very astute. No one who has read any of my commentaries, this was way back, ever really caught that. And I'm very impressed that you did. Most people ignore what I write or can't really understand what I write because they're too busy looking for their living in what I write instead of the life of their living. And that's a totally different mind frame. It's very different than just living and reading and watching things in order to get it so you can get something into your life that you want and something out of your life that you don't want. So there you are. A very interesting question. Thank you, Francis, for listening, and thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow. When people pick out little things out of my commentary and they get it, it always excites me because hopefully it helped them. Hopefully they got it. Okay, last question comes from Robert. Would it not disturb a person's life to go into a practice like the one you talk about? Is it worth it? Robert. Yes, Robert. To enter into this practice is very disturbing to my mischief. As I enter into my own practice, it disturbs my mischief, makes it very difficult for me to hate and fear and live in the pedestrian mentality that old Gregory would love to do. Yeah, it's quite disturbing. You start looking at people differently. You start looking at yourself differently. You start to realize certain things that aren't comfortable anymore. You realize how much responsibility you have in your own life and what you're all about. Yes, it's quite disturbing at times. And disrupting, too. Let's add that. Disrupts my mischief. It disrupts my hatred. It disrupts everything that I like to do that, keeps me annoyed and in hatred. There is nothing more painful than love. Nothing. Not because love is bad or even love is difficult, but because it disturbs the status quo of me, the foolishness of me, my mischief. It just ruins the mischief. And it's like a gyroscope, you know, it's going around and around and around. It's doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, I'm asking you to slow down, to listen to the sound of one hand clapping, to do some things that are very unique. And your mind goes, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, we can't do that. And that's when it becomes strange. Yes, an authentic spiritual practice is deeply disturbing. Your friends, your family will look at you and go, what is going on with you? You're changing. And they're not going to like it. You're going to find something very disturbing. People like you the way you were or the way you seem to be to them. If you're codependent, then, oh, you're a wonderful person because you need them and they need you and blah, blah. If you start to awaken out of that a little bit and start to see that emotionality disturbs the depth of you, takes you away from who and what you are, when you start realizing you don't need a concept of yourself any longer, you need to just be authentic and find the authenticness of your own life, which has nothing to do with personality, pride, vanity, or fear. People don't like that. When you start to become more heartfelt than human felt, human in the form of collapsing into the emotionality of it all. Yeah, people, well, you've changed. You're kind of cold. You don't need me like you used to need me. And then you start to realize that people love us only based on the whole idea of the emotional needs that they have that we can supply for them, fulfill for them, even supplant in them. So all of this just keeps going and going and going, and we're not very intelligent, are we? We're not very intelligent about how we live, the way we live, and what we live for. Then once we understand that, we don't do that anymore. We stop. We just don't do that anymore. And yes, my life gets disrupted for a while. And it truly has and does. There's no doubt about it, but it is what it is. Now you ask, is it worth it? Well, that's subjective. It sounds to me like, Robert, you're not sick of your sickness yet. You just want to find a clever way to keep it all going, keep the plates spinning in your life. When you're done spinning plates, when you no longer want to spin a plate anymore, and you want to find out what the meaning of your life is, then you hunger and thirst, as Jesus said, for righteousness. You can't live one more moment hunger and thirsting for the truth of you, the meaning of you in that truth. Then, yes, it is more than worth it. But if you're like not really into it very much. You're just kind of curious, as most people are, and their curiosity doesn't go into transformation, then no, it's not worth it. It wouldn't be worth it for you. Some people find it very powerful to go towards the light, go towards the heart. It's a arduous journey at times because the ego wants to keep us from it. But if you can sustain love, if you can go for love, if you can live as love, and it disturbs and rocks your world, but you care not because you hunger and thirst after righteousness, as it is said, then you have something quite brilliant and quite beautiful in your life. Thank you, Robert, for your beautiful question. I'm sure it wasn't very satisfying, but I hope it makes some sort of sense to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be of service to you, and please come to our website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. And there at the top of the page, you'll see contact. And if you hit it, email me. Any question you have is important to me. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my sponsors for their help. And I hope you will forgive me. Please forgive me. Namaste.